Amen. The world's rock is not the same as the rock for the child of God.
Amen.
Amen. And one fellow said it this way. He said, the only rock and roll I like, he said, is the fact that my foot's on the rock and my name's on the roll. Amen. Amen. And that's right. But I'm glad we do have a shelter. That goes back to some of that what we was talking about earlier as well, about the raging storms and the troubles that are in this world. I'm glad they come to pass. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33, the last verse of chapter 5 is what we're going to read tonight. I mentioned that it would probably not be real long. I'm going to begin. I preached four sermons so far on the duties of husbands and wives, and I've focused on the duties of both alike in those four sermons. Tonight I'm going to begin looking at the special duty of the husband and preaching especially to the husband. And so you ladies can be thankful not only that I've got a short message tonight, but that it's directed to them. Amen. Give you opportunity for a few days to stick your rib in his shoulder. Amen. Or in his side. Your elbow. I'll get it right. Your elbow. Your rib in his shoulder. I wonder where that came from. Stick your elbow in his rib. Amen. And anyway, no, not really. Really, even the message to the men is a message to the ladies. There's a message in there for all of us. And even for those that are not married, amen, there's a message in the Scripture for all of us, no doubt. But we're looking this evening at the duties, special duty of the husband. And that duty is to love his wife. That's what he said. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Please help us. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I mentioned that I'll probably not be real long. I really have an intention for that. These thoughts that we're going to be looking at, these are big, heavy, weighty attainments, things to reach to. It's not something frivolous. And so, if you're eating something that is hard to chew, it pays you to take smaller bites. Amen? And I want to do that. I want to give us a bite, not enough to choke us, hopefully, but enough for us to chew on and take it with us and chew on it for a while. And hopefully, it'll be something that'll be helpful. I believe it will. I believe it'll be something that will ultimately redound to the glory of God, be helpful to our church, helpful to our nation, as we work on these stronger homes. Several things I was thinking about. I've been in reading and studying and thinking on, for example, in the ministry, thinking about, I went back in Judges, how that, this makes a short message long, by the way, but I'm not getting to my message yet, so don't start my timer. But in my mind, I went back in Judges, how that God raised up a man periodically for Israel and would deliver them before he ever gave them a king. And it looks like eventually he was planning on giving them a king, but he wanted it to be the king after his heart rather than the choosing of the people. But they got ahead of God in that, and of course God allowed them to have the king. He gave them the king, and you know how things went. But as I was thinking about that leadership situation and thinking about leadership in our nation, the way Israel was set up originally, before they had a king, even without a judge, but here's where, let me get back to this. God told Moses to anoint Joshua to follow him. I read where some men were railing on Joshua for not choosing a man to lead Israel. They said that's why the book of Judges came into being, because Joshua failed to raise up a man to lead Israel. No, God didn't tell Joshua to send in a man. Amen. The matter of fact, the only reason God picked Joshua in the place of Moses, because Moses had sinned. God said, you can't go in the promised land. Therefore, I'm going to let Joshua finish the job I gave you to do. Joshua was not doing the job of Joshua. Joshua was finishing the job of Moses.
Right.
And when Joshua was done, that job was done. Israel's in Canaan land. They're supposed to have conquered it. Amen. And that job was done. But so here's where I'm getting in. This is how it ties into this now. Is that in that original, what we say, the theocracy of Israel, God ruling over Israel. You know who was the ruler? They didn't have a national ruler or even, I don't know if they had city rulers. It was the head of the household.
Right.
It was the home that governed the nation. Amen. I'm telling you, one of the reasons that America is in such bad shape is because our homes are in such bad shape.
Right.
If we could strengthen our homes, it would bless our nation. I believe that.
Right.
It would strengthen and help our nation. That is right. Amen. So tonight, this special duty of the husband, we begin tonight looking at this particular one. And I noticed that love is the foundation for everything that he does. That's what he said. When he reads from verse number 25, where he starts with the husband primarily, he's talked to the wife earlier, verses 22, 23, 24. He comes to the husband, 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And he goes down through all that list, but when he sums it all up for him and her, verse 33 is the sum of all of it added together. The sum is husband, and he put him first this time. Love your wife. And this time he doesn't say as Christ, but he says even as himself. Love her as much as you love yourself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. So that undergirding, I'd say the foundation of all the duties that a husband does is love towards his wife. Amen. One of the reasons why a father ought to get up and go to work is because he loves his wife. Amen. One of the reasons why he provides the things he does ought to be because he loves his wife. Amen. One of the reasons why a dad wants children that behave is because he loves his wife. Amen. All those, everything that we do, one of the reasons why that we ought to see our family in the house of God ought to be because we love our wife. All these undergirding things, it's the foundation is on that love. Everything else flows from that, it appears to me, in these performances. By the way, this is a good way to say it. Without love, everything you do for her seems hard. But with love, no matter what you do for her, seems easy. Genesis chapter number 29 gives us a good statement of that. Turn back there with me, if you will. Genesis 29. And by the way, we could use this on the job. Amen. If you are happy about what you're doing, you're in love with your job, so to speak, in love with what you're doing, no matter what you have to do, seems easy. But if you don't love what you're doing, everything seems hard. Even taking a break seems like a hard thing to do. Amen. When you hate what you're doing. Amen. When you hate what you're doing. Amen. Genesis chapter number 29 and verse number 20. We've got the story of Jacob serving for Rachel. Verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Look at this phrase. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. His love for her was so great that 7 years seemed like a short time. Seemed like just a few days in order to have her. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to notice, look at verse 20 again. I want to read it to you. And I'm going to read it differently than it's laid down. I'm going to read it so you can see the difference. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto me but a few days. No, that's not Jacob saying that. Jacob's not saying, well, it just seemed like a short time to me. No, it's God, the Holy Ghost, testifying that Jacob's love for Rachel was so strong that 7 years went by like a few days. Amen. That's real love. And God recognized how much love Jacob had for Rachel there. It's not Jacob bragging about his love. It's God acknowledging that love that Jacob had. That's the way the husband ought to love his wife. Amen. Tenderness, honor, care, kindness, all those things, they're just the outflow of love. I put it this way in my notes. These things are merely the beams from the sun of love. Amen. When that great sphere of love grows or glows in the heart of the husband, there will be rays of tenderness that reach out to his wife. Matter of fact, it'll be seen even by others. There'll be rays of honor that reach out, beam out from his heart towards her as he honors her. And it'll be noticeable by others. There'll be rays of care. He wants her to be comfortable. He loves her. It'll be seen. And by the way, the crowd that's out there in the darkness, when they see the love you have, the husband has for his wife, it may even brighten their dark day. Amen. You've seen it. I'm sure you've seen that exhibited before you.
Amen.
One of the things that's been said, and I could name several men, but for example, Brother Albert Harding, Brother from Wynn, Arkansas, Howard Calvert. There's two men that I know of that their wife was in bad shape. Those men just exude, to me, they exude a gentleman nature. They exude an honorable nature, and they loved their wife, and it exuded from them.
Amen.
And it brightened my day. Amen. It made me want to exhibit the same thing. Amen. And I hope others do see that, and I'm not here to brag on myself or make myself an example or any of you the example. I'm not saying we're trying to be the example. I'm saying we're trying to match what God gave us in His book.
Amen.
All the things we do ought to come out of our love. Now, I'm just in the introduction. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, that great, some people call it great love chapter. You know it's charity, and charity is love, but it's more than just love.
Right.
It's actually a giving love. Amen. I'm going to use this in the vein of introduction to the way the husband ought to love the wife. The first three verses of Genesis 13, Paul says it this way. Though I speak with the tongues of men, and Paul spoke with a lot of the tongues of men, and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. I look back at verse number 1, and I want to think about this as the husband. Paul's saying, if I don't have love, all my words are empty. Doesn't matter how great swelling, though it's, I could speak every language of man and could even speak the language of angels. If I don't have love, my words are empty. Verse number 2, it's as if he's saying, without love, all your wisdom and all your abilities are nothing. And verse number 3, without love, all our gifts are trinkets that are worthless.
Right.
Amen. Doesn't matter how big they are. And you know this is true. If you're unfaithful to your wife, all your I love you statements are meaningless. They're empty. It's not your words she wants, it's your love she wants. Amen. Amen. If you're bitter and unloving towards your wife, all your wise sayings, all your amazing abilities do not impress her. She's not after your wisdom or your abilities. She wants your love. Amen. And if you don't love your wife, all the things you give her are trash. Because she does not want just things. She wants your love. Amen. Most of us, our wife didn't marry us for our wealth. Amen. She had to have loved us. That's why she married us. Amen. It's not the things we have that she's after. Amen. Now, with all these things in mind, I want to begin this few sermons on the special duty of the husband, which is love. And I'm going to look at three things. I'm going to deal with the first one tonight, and I'll quit with that. But three things I want to look at. I want to look at the dimension of that love. I want to look at the description of that love. And I want to look at the demonstration of that love. Dimensions, description, and demonstration. But tonight I want to look at the dimensions of a godly husband's love. Amen. And I tell you that the way the Bible explains love is totally different from the way the world views love.
Right.
Totally different. Amen. The world looks at love as a fleshly thing. Amen. Matter of fact, Brother Steve, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, I was telling this on the way home. I thought it was a great lesson, and there's several great points. But that one point that Elijah told Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink. And I made that statement to some of the men. We was leaving. It looked like it's clouding up. And I said, fellas, we're going to have to do what Elijah told Ahab. We're going to have to get up and eat and drink because there's a sound of rain coming. Amen. But that statement that Elijah did not tell Ahab to do anything spiritual because Ahab was not going to do anything spiritual. All Ahab was flesh, bodily appetite. That's all he had. But Elijah had something more. Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to pray. Elijah wasn't full of flesh. Elijah was full of faith. Amen. And this thing about how the world looks at love, all they see is bodily appetites. All they see is flesh. Amen. But what the Bible talks about is spiritual. Amen. And there's a whole lot of faith involved in those spiritual things. And by the way, you might say, but preacher, I couldn't love her like that. She don't deserve to be loved like that. I appreciate what Brother Plemons said. He said, do you deserve to be loved like God loves you? No. And we're not doing it for her. We're doing it for what He said. Amen. We're doing it for Him. That is right. Amen. So good. But the love of the husband to his wife is peculiar. I'm talking about this dimension of his love. It's peculiar to any other relationship. It goes beyond and is totally distinct from parental love. Amen. Totally beyond animal lust. That's what the world looks at. Amen. A man loves his wife in a totally different sphere than he loves his father or his mother. Amen.
Right.
He loves her in a totally different way than he loves his brothers or his sisters. We're family, but we're more than family. I appreciate what Brother Hall said one day this week. He was talking about him and Mrs. Hall and how he was talking about the blessing God had given them since he had stepped down from pastoring, and they're together a lot and practically all the time. And he's talking about how they had grown closer. And he said this. He said the love of a husband for his wife, and he didn't know I was going to go on this, is more than the love of anybody else, because she's not only your spouse, she's your best friend. That is so true. That is so true. And that's the way it ought to be, by the way. Amen. There's a love between a husband and a wife that is far beyond any other kind of love. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matches it or measures up to it. That's the way to say it. Amen. Nothing else can measure to that kind of love. Amen. I say that we live in a three-dimensional world, but I believe there's four dimensions to the love a man has for his wife. A godly man for his wife. I've got four things. I'm going to call these the four dimensions of his love for her. They're not... That love's not limited to these four, but it includes these four. First of all, we're going to talk about the decree of His love. That's the first dimension. The decree. God said it. That settles it. Number two, we're going to look at the distance of His love. Number three, we'll look at the degree of His love. And then last of all tonight, we'll look at the duration. You say, well, you said distance, but duration is even different than the distance of His love. Amen. So looking at these four things tonight, the decree of His love, number one, I'll say A. All right, A, the decree of His love. Turn to Matthew chapter number 19, if you will. And our Lord makes a statement. He's asked questions about love or about marriage. And He makes some statements here. The command here that God gave in Ephesians 5:33, husbands, love your wife even as yourself. Amen. He doesn't give any loophole. He doesn't give any exception. He said, if you're married to her, your job's to love her.
Right.
But what? There's no but what's in there. He said, our Lord is saying, if you're married to her, you're to love her. All right, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. The Pharisees came also unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen. Our Lord said, God's one put them together. You ain't got any business getting in the midst of that. You don't have any business trying to tear asunder what God put together. I've heard men try to, you know, again, they make loopholes. They say, well now, but what if God didn't put them together? Then who gets to pick which ones God put together and which ones God didn't put together? I believe that when the vows are made, God puts them together. Holy matrimony is not just what we do. Holy matrimony is what God does, and He does it according to those vows. I believe that. I believe that's exactly right. Amen. So you're married to her. God commands you to love your wife. This love lasts forever, and it's the only thing that does last forever in the marriage. Amen. Her looks may not last. Your euphoria may not last. Feelings and desires may change. But God said there's one thing that'll never change, and that's your love for her. Amen. His command does not change. God's word is forever settled in heaven. And when God said love her, it ain't going to change. Amen. It's not going to change. Jesus said, remember what, when they said, can a man put away his wife forever? Because Jesus said, you remember what happened at the beginning? It was God that made them male and female. It was not chance. It was not an invention of man. It was not just not that Eve just decided to be a woman and Adam just decided to be a man. God made them. He made one a male, He made the other a female, and God brought them together, and He said, you don't have any business going in there and trying to divide what God put together. Other words, God said, you love her. God told Adam to love Eve. Adam's supposed to love her.
Right.
Eve messed up. Adam's supposed to keep on loving her.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, we could say the same for Eve. Adam messed up. Eve was to keep on loving her. They had a boy die tragically, but Adam's to keep on loving her. They had a boy that's a murderer, but Adam's to keep on loving her. Amen. They get kicked out of the garden, but Adam's to keep on loving her. One fellow said, she ate him out of house and home. But Adam's to keep on loving her. Amen. Amen. God said it. God said, that's the decree. You love her. That settles it. If people would consider that we are duty-bound to obey the commandments of God, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what our emotions get involved, we're to obey the Word of God, that would help our marriage. We're commanded to love her. We're told to. Amen. Now, that's not the only reason why you should, but that ought to be enough. Amen. When you as a parent, when you told your child, don't run across the road, you didn't have to write them a 5-page dissertation as to why they wasn't supposed to run across the road. Right? It didn't matter how they felt at the time. It didn't matter if everybody else did it. Nothing mattered except your word when you said that's the way it's supposed to be. That, by the way, is the way it's supposed to be. Amen. That is the way it's supposed to be. And I preached a message years ago on God being the perfect example of fatherhood. God said, let there be, and there was. Nothing was questioned. When God said it, that's the way it was. That's the way Dad's word's supposed to be. Amen. I remember growing up, sometimes Mom would say, you boys can't do that. And we'd say, why? She said, because your daddy said. That settled it. You want me to tell your daddy? No. I don't want you to talk to my dad about nothing about me. That settled it. That's right. That settled it right there. Amen. Amen. Well, there's the There's the decree of His love. He said it. Number two, there's the distance of this love. This love that we have has got to be much deeper than skin deep. Amen. I believe you're to love her not just with your body, but with your soul. You're to love her, not just her body, her soul. Amen. You're to love her person. Amen. You're to love her personally. Amen. By the way, it'd be good for those people that are looking for a spouse to choose one that's not just attractive to them physically, but one that's attractive to them in personality and in spirituality. Amen. Do good to think about that dimension. How godly is she? What's her personality? Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. I've already alluded to it, but Paul said this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Amen. He's talking about not just outside. He's talking about inside. He's talking about the spirit of all this. The spirituality of marriage that he's dealing with in that. Amen. And so what we should do, we should try to love like Christ. That's what he said. Amen. By the way, if Christ lives in us, we ought to see that we have the ability somewhere in there. I can do how many things through Christ that strengthens me? I can do it all. I can do all things. Preacher, I just can't love her like Christ. Does Christ live in you? If He does, you can. Listen, I know this is easy preaching from the pulpit. It's a little bit harder living when you get where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Day by day activity, there arises problems. And this is not saying that women are hard to love, but humans have problems. Amen. Him and her. And there's going to be times that you don't want to love her, perhaps. He said, love her anyhow. Amen. Amen. How deep are you to love her? That's the distance. I'm not talking about the duration. I'll get to that. How deep are you to love her? You're to love her to the core of her soul. That's how you're to love her. Amen. I believe it's right here in the text. Then there's the degree of his love. Again, you could say this deals with how deep. But the husband must love his wife above all others. Amen. You ought to love your mom and dad, but you ought to love your wife more. Amen. You ought to love your children, but you ought to love your wife more. Amen. You ought to love your boss, but you ought to love your wife more. Amen. Amen. You ought to love her more than anybody else. That's in the Bible as well. Proverbs chapter number 5. Turn back there if you will. Proverbs chapter number 5. You know it deals with a strange woman. Proverbs 5. 5, 6, 7, and 9 deals with that strange woman. But there's a statement in here. Proverbs chapter number 5, and I'll start with verse 15. And read through verse 19. It gets a little bit intimate, but it's right here in our Bible, and we'll see it. The degree of the love that he has for her. It's above love for anybody else. Verse number 15 of Proverbs 5. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Amen. That says be happy with what's in your house. Don't go looking at somebody else's house. Amen. All right, let's read on. Let thy fountain be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Amen. Again, I said that gets a little bit intimate. But he's plainly teaching that the husband is to love his wife above any other woman. Amen. Amen. His love for her is to be so great that his love for her makes his heart giddy. That's what he's talking about. Be ravished with her love. Amen. Be ravished always with her love. You look the word up. That word in verse number 19. translated ravish. I didn't write down the Strong's number, but you can look it up. It means to reel as if through intoxication. You're drunk on love. You've heard that phrase? That's how y'all love your wife. Not somebody else. Amen. It means, that word goes on, it says it means to be enraptured. Amen. There's no love greater than the love from a husband to a wife. Amen. No love greater than that. By the way, if we'll remember that, if we'll keep that, I go back to what I was preaching this morning. We fail because we forget sometimes. The world says, well, you can have happiness if you did this and this and this and this. And they've got a whole tray of stuff you got to try before you can ever be happy. The Bible says you can be happy at your house. Amen. You can be, and matter of fact, a better happiness there, a greater happiness there than anywhere else. If you'll just be happy at home. Amen. Amen. That is right. Amen. Then here's the last one. I said it'd be short. There's the duration of this love. Proverbs 5:19 uses a word. I talked about the word ravished. But the next word, be thou ravished always with her love. Be thou ravished always with her love. That means he's to be ravished with a love for his wife, not only in public, but in private. Not just for a week, not just for a month, not just for a year, but always, until death, I believe. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe the love that a husband has for his wife ought to increase daily, even into old age. Amen. It ought to increase daily. As she gets older, by the way, you're getting older too. Amen. But as you age together, you ought to realize this. He talks about she's the wife of thy youth. Maybe you're not young anymore. You had her in her youth. You ought to thank God you still got her in these latter days. Amen. You had her in her strength. I say this sounds a little funny, but it's right. Why not have her in her wrinkles? In her illnesses. Amen. Amen. The Bible talks about a hoary head. That's talking about gray hair. It does not say you ought to hide gray hair. The Bible does not say you ought to be ashamed of gray hair. The Bible does not say you ought to be ashamed of age. We've swallowed the world's idea that age is a bad thing. According to this Bible, age is a good thing. God bragged about how old some of those men and women in the Bible were. He bragged about how old they were. They lived to a ripe old age. That meant they weren't ripe before. Amen. Amen. But they lived to a ripe old age. Amen. I'm telling you, love between a husband and wife. And listen, I've been married over 30 years now. And honestly, our love's stronger now than it was the day we got married. Amen. We enjoy our time together. Matter of fact, empty nest syndrome's a wonderful thing. Amen. Wonderful thing. Amen. I am glad Joshua moved up here. We got some family here. But it don't hurt my feelings even when he's gone. Amen. I'm just being a little bit facetious. But love ought to get stronger as you get older. It ought not decrease. Amen. Matter of fact, inner loveliness increases often as outer loveliness fades. You've got a lot of things at home that's of more value to you today because it is old or because you have had it a long time than it was when you got it new. Right. Amen. Amen. Well, we ought to consider the beauty of her personality. We ought to consider the beauty of her spirituality. And again, the older you get, those ought to get more prominent. Those ought to be easier seen. And again, get more beautiful with age as we've got to know each other better. Amen. We ought to see that. There's a lot of verses in the Bible. I'm not going to run through them, but a lot of biblical reasons that the husband is to love his wife perpetually. It's a constant running thing. Amen. Now some may look for, some have even imagined that they have found excuses to abandon their marriage. These that are looking for an excuse are selfish and carnal. They're not spiritual and biblical. Amen. Most of the time, those that are looking for a way out, they've already been looking for another place to go. A lot of times that's the case. Amen. They're not dedicated. they're not dedicated to the home, that's pretty obvious. Then it's because they're not dedicated to God as they ought to be. Amen. Now, again, I realize problems arise, and I'm not belittling any problems. But I'm telling you, if you'll be dedicated to God as you ought to, God will dedicate you to that home. I believe He will. And God can work out all those problems. Amen. But there's not one biblical reason in your King James Bible that the husband's to leave his wife. Not one. But there's a lot of biblical reasons why he ought to stay. Amen. People say, well, preacher, you know, for example, you preach on how they ought to dress. Well, I just don't see it in the Bible. Well, where do you find in the Bible about some of the things you do? Like, for example, this idea of leaving. I'll just leave. I'll do what I'll do. I'll just leave. Find that in the Bible. It's not in there. It's not in there. So our love for our spouse ought to endure until the end of life. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. That's my message. Short. Short and sweet. Amen. But it'd be something for us to chew on. The dimensions of a godly husband's love. There's the decree. God said it. There's the distance. He's the lover right to the core of her soul. There's the degree. He's loved her more than anybody else. And there's the duration. He's the lover his whole life. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for my wife. I thank You, Lord, for the blessedness of marriage. Lord, I know we've got folks in here not married that want to be married. We've got folks in here that have been through this heartache of divorce. Heartache maybe of abandonment. Heartache of so much difficulty. And I feel for them, Lord. And I'm not belittling them. But at the same time, I want to thank You for the marriage You've given me. I want to ask You, Lord, to help me to make it even better. Help me, dear God, to love my wife as deeply as You have told me I ought to love her. As long as You've told me I ought to love her. As dedicated as You've told me I ought to love her. Help me, Lord, to do that. It's not in her court. It's in mine. These things are. And Lord, a lot of this is out of our power, but it's in Thy power. We can love You as Christ loved the church because Christ lives in us. So, Father, help us that we could do that. And Lord, I pray for those others that have been through that. Lord, help them to pray for other marriages to be strong, to pray for other marriages to stay together, to see they don't have to go through the hurt that they've gone through, that others can have blessedness and peace. And they can rejoice in that. They can get warmth from that fire. They can get light from that light. They can have some encouragement from those things. Thank You, Lord. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.